Hi, Brett. How are you?
Doing well. I must say I'm channeling my inner Sheryl Crow. Did that ever come to mind as we get into my favorite mistake and everything else?
Mistakes and learning from mistakes is something I've written about and thought about a lot. But last year, I heard the song, and that was one thing that just clicked. And I said, I'm going to do a podcast. I'm going to use that name.
I love it. I love it. We're going to talk about that. Okay, so necessity, certainly the mother of invention, and the COVID pandemic has stripped a lot of us down professionally. Some of us are doing better, some not so much. So what do you think some of the biggest reasons are people have been able to use this time to reinvent themselves professionally?
Well, a lot of entrepreneurship is a choice where people want to reinvent themselves, or they feel driven to go and build something or accomplish something that they can't do maybe in a regular job. But you're right, the pandemic has forced a lot of people, including myself, to pivot. And I'm not traveling and going on site with healthcare organizations, so I've tried to figure out, as other people have, how to work remotely with people, and in some cases, doing some new things instead of just doing the same thing in a virtual way.
Indeed. What are some of the things that maybe keep people from going after their dreams of being a business owner, inventor, or whatever it is that makes their heart pound?
Well, I think, a lot of times there is fear, and it's reasonable fear. People fear losing the steady paycheck. In a lot of cases, this is a uniquely American dynamic. They don't want to lose their health insurance. That's something that's certainly a drag on entrepreneurship. But I think in the last 10, 15 years, there's been a shift. There's an author out of Northern California, Eric Ries, who wrote a book called The Lean Startup. And that's been influential on me and others, where the lesson learned is you're not going to have it all figured out before you quit the job or launch the business, that you need to do small tests of change. You try to test your idea for a business, whether that's software or an app or some sort of company. Test that on a small scale and then build from there. So yeah, I think we can develop confidence or prove out or disprove our business idea by taking baby steps instead of taking a big, huge leap.
Oh, baby steps. I haven't heard that really when it comes to entrepreneurship or business startups or anything like that. Do you have an example? I mean, do you test it on your friends and family, or how does that work?
Well, the risk of testing things with friends or family is that they're going to be more polite than honest. And I think that's true when it comes to a business. The last book I wrote, I treated it like a startup. And the idea there is to try to get real feedback from real customers. Like, there's risk in surveying people, even if they're not friends and family. If you're surveying people that would potentially be customers, what people say they will do is sometimes different than their behavior of getting their wallet out, putting their credit card into a website, or signing a purchase order. So, we can minimize some of the risk by taking small steps, and again, either trying to validate our idea and realize, yeah, I should move forward with that, or better to learn at a small scale. Something's off about this idea. I need to tweak the idea based on the feedback that I'm getting.
Okay, let's say you have an epiphany, a business idea, and maybe you have quote unquote tested it, whether you're getting good feedback, honest feedback or not from friends or family. Are there additional steps beyond just Googling and making sure that the name you want is not taken or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, there are all sorts of mistakes that people could make. When I launched the My Favorite Mistake podcast, I'm not a lawyer. I didn't consult with a lawyer, but I did some Google searches of, like, well, I'm not writing well, there are even sometimes multiple songs with the same title, right? So a song title can't be copy written. There are different mistakes that we might make. So I think there's a time and a place of seeking out expert advice, but more often than not, we're going to learn by doing. If we make small mistakes, or if we, I mean, it's a learning opportunity, right? So there's a software company I've been involved in different ways the last 10 years called Kynexus. It was started by an emergency room physician. He started it. People often call their side hustle a night job. His side hustle was a day job because he was an ER doctor at night. But the company, as it's grown, like there are certain assumptions that you make. And sometimes you just learn those assumptions were incorrect. Like the assumption that we were going to sell software only to healthcare organizations. That was going fine. But then we learned, oh, people in other industries want to buy the software. In fact, you know, there was one funny email where somebody was kind of angry, like, well, why wouldn't you sell this software? I've run a healthcare organization. Why wouldn't, so we thought, well, no, we can learn from that. We can adjust. We can tweak our marketing message to be more inclusive. So that's, I think, an example of learning as you go. It doesn't mean we were wrong. It just meant we learned, and it's better to adapt and change your direction a little bit based on the learning instead of being stubborn and doubling down and being so locked into your idea. Because we a lot of times we don't know if we're right. We can only figure that out through real action.
Oh, that leads me right into my next question as we visit with Mark Graben, author, business consultant, and host of the podcast, My Favorite Mistake. What are some good examples of great ideas for business? I'm guessing it should be something from the heart, something that you love and something that you're passionate about. How do you transition that into an actual business model where you can support yourself and make money?
Well, so you bring up a really good point. There are two dimensions. You know, there's, again, I'm thinking of Eric Ries in the book, The Lean Startup, to give him credit again. Two questions of, can I build something? And then there's the question of, should I build something? Is this thing that I want to build, let's say it's an app. Technically, you can build it. That doesn't mean, to your point, Brett, is there a business model? There are a lot of products or ideas that aren't necessarily a business. And so, you know, we need to test those ideas. And, you know, I think you bring up another good point. I think of, the founding of Kinexus and a lot of other startups come from somebody solving a problem that they're facing in their own daily work. And I think that's an important way of avoiding some startup mistakes. Don't be so fixated on your solution. Make sure you really understand the problem that's being solved. But then you've got to go and test and try to validate your assumption that A, other people have that problem. B, they care enough about it to try to fix it. And C, they're willing to buy my product or service as a way of addressing that. So that does drive a lot of passion when it's a solution to a problem that really means something to you. And it means you understand at least what some other customers are facing, but we need to avoid the mistake of assuming what I think is what everybody else is going to think.
How many new businesses fail right out of the gate, and in what kind of time frame are we talking about so that we can all be realistic?
That's a good question. I don't have numbers right in front of me, but I mean, I think to guests that I've had on My Favorite Mistake, I mean, a number of guests have articulated the idea, you know, if you look at really successful people, it's not that they never made a mistake or that they've never failed. It's more a matter of learning from those mistakes and preventing the repeated failures. I mean, there's an old Japanese proverb, you know, that says, fall down 7 times, stand up 8. And so I think it's important, like, you know, emotionally, we tend to get upset and we want to avoid beating ourselves up when we make a mistake. Like I had a guest I interviewed yesterday, very successful businessman in different fields. And he made the point, well, you know, he's always learned from his mistakes, but he doesn't dwell on them. Like there's a balance between recognizing I had a small failure. Well, if I can recognize that and learn from it and adjust, that reduces the risk of the big failure, meaning like, you know, shutting down the business or, you know, having something catastrophic like that. So I think being resilient towards failure means recognizing it, being honest about yourself, you know, like reflecting, but not being too hard on yourself.
That makes me think of the sports world a little bit, almost like a cornerback in the game of football. You have to have a very short memory because if you get burned for a long touchdown, you had better be ready for the next play. As we talk about people transitioning their professional lives, not necessarily opening up a new business, a lot of people just flat out made pivots during the pandemic and changed careers, whether or not they're working for themselves or not. Any advice there for someone who's going after something totally different?
Well, you know, I think there's two different positions people might be in. One is, you know, entrepreneur by choice, and one is like, oh, I'm forced into that because, you know, sadly, people have lost their jobs. So, you know, there's different approaches. I mean, there are some who advocate for the idea, hey, if you're going to start a business, you had better be all in. You had better be committed. You had better, you know, rise and grind, as some people say. But, you know, I think there's always this question of what can I do versus what should I do? You know, do I have one idea that I'm just really locked in on? Okay, if so, go and pursue it. But again, you know, I think there are good lessons from entrepreneurship circles of, you know, if your business is going to be a failure, you'd rather know it's failing sooner than later. So that's where the small tests of change are helpful. And if you realize, like, okay, I've learned I can't build what I thought I was going to build, or there is no business model, it's better to learn that maybe after a couple of months and then move on to something else than to invest years and years and years of building something and then learning, oof, nobody wants this software.
That's a great point.
I just want to jump in real quick. It's funny that you mentioned cornerbacks. One of my guests on the My Favorite Mistake podcast, Lenny Walls, is a retired NFL cornerback. And we talked about that exact same point in his episode of having the short memory and going back and reflecting and learning. Like, you've got to jump right into that next play. Let's say you get burned and there's a long completion. Well, it's first and goal, you got to stay out there. But then when you come to the bench or during halftime or during the game film session the next morning, that's the chance to then dig in, figure out what went wrong, what do we do differently next time, without letting it distract you in the moment. So I think athletes have a really interesting perspective on that.
Indeed, a lot has changed and a lot still is changing, you know, on the landscape thanks to the pandemic. This is really terrific stuff. We're speaking with Mark Graben and markgraben.com, a lot of insight there. Is there anything else you want to make sure and say about, you know, making a serious pivot financially during this particular moment of time, which is very unique?
Well, you know, I think there are, you know, ways of trying to, when as we validate a business model, you know, I think there are other ways of starting companies. I was involved in a startup back in the year 2000. The model there was, you know, you better put together a business plan, go pitch venture capitalists and try to raise, you know, $10 million or more. There's, you know, there are models where, you know, you may self-fund the start of your business. You may find friends and family, angel investors. But again, at a small scale with small resources, go and test the idea. Then hopefully, ideally, bootstrap the business from, you know, cash flow from actual customers can help drive a lot of growth, as opposed to taking sort of like the big risky plunge on taking a big investment. You know, there are a lot of ways of, again, getting started on a small scale and seeing what works and adjusting accordingly. And that can be a little bit less risky, you know, maybe, you know, not cashing out your 401k and putting all of your eggs in that basket. I mean, that would, you know, maybe create a lot of stress that distracts from the work at hand of starting and building and growing a business.
Well, before we let you go, Mark, we have to ask you about Shark Tank, because a lot of what you're talking about, if you've seen the show Shark Tank, a lot of people enjoy watching that, where people pitch their ideas to people with money and try to basically get some of them and bring them in as partners. You've interviewed Kevin Harrington on your podcast, My Favorite Mistake. What was he like and what'd you glean from that?
Well, Kevin was great. He's part of the reason, he was part of the inspiration for starting the podcast, and the fact that he was willing to be the guest in the first episode, I think just set such a powerful tone. I mean, he shared a story from earlier in his days of launching his infomercial business. And like, there could be a direct lesson from the story of, you know, not putting all your eggs into one credit card processing account basket. You know, you could learn and say, okay, well, if I'm starting an infomercial business, I won't make that exact same mistake. That's maybe a value to a handful of people. But I think what's more valuable is his willingness, like the vulnerability to say, here's a huge mistake I made. And he learned from it and he restructured how he did business accordingly. I think sharing that example reemphasizes the point, as other guests have emphasized, it's not that successful people don't fail. It's that they learn from their failures. And that moves them forward into what we then see as being wildly successful. You know, sometimes people might only want to tell the stories that put them in a positive light, the brilliant decision. But I think sharing mistakes and being willing to talk about it sets a good example for others in a lot of ways. And I think to me, that puts somebody like Kevin Harrington or other guests in a really positive light. They made a mistake. They didn't blame others. You know, didn't throw anyone under the bus. He didn't make excuses. He owned up to it. He realized it was a mistake. He learned from it. He didn't repeat it. I think that's a great example for anybody.
Definitely not a mistake having a visit with you, Mark. That's terrific stuff. I enjoyed it very much. Is there anything else you want to make sure and say?
Well, you know, if people are interested in this topic of learning from mistakes, again, you know, the podcast is My Favorite Mistake Podcast. As you mentioned, the Sheryl Crow song, like if you're going to search in your favorite music/podcast app, if you're going to search my favorite mistake, you probably do need to tack on podcast at the end. Otherwise, I mean, enjoy the Sheryl Crow song too,
but then maybe, right.
then maybe listen to a podcast afterwards. My favorite mistake, podcast.com is the website.
Very good. And markgraben.com is where you can go to get a lot more info about you. Mark, congrats on your success and good luck in the future in 2021 and beyond.
Well, thanks, Brett. I'm going to keep making mistakes. It happens too often, but I'm going to keep learning. Try to be positive about it and not repeat those mistakes.
Hear, hear. Mark, thanks again.
Thanks, Brett.